Hello and welcome to SNG Podcast. I'm Nitin Gokhale. 2 weeks ago, I had an occasion to chat with India's Southern Army Commander, Lieutenant General A.K. Singh, who pointed out that while new technology absorption is the key for future wars or how to fight future wars, conventional capability of the Indian Army has to be retained, given varied terrain and the varied challenges that it faces. Take a listen.
Hello and welcome. I'm Nitin Gokhale. In this special broadcast, I'm joined by India's Southern Army Commander, Lieutenant General A.K. Singh, who's based out of his headquarters in Pune. And we are at the Pune War Memorial, where we are going to talk to General Singh about the Southern Army's contribution to nation building, about what the Army does and what are the security issues that he needs to tackle in case the balloon goes up and all other attendant issues. So welcome to this program.
Thank you. Thank you, Nitin.
Thank you for giving time and allowing us to use this premises. Of
I think this premise itself is very symbolic. Yes. Very, very symbolic.
Yeah. So, in fact, this looks magnificent in the sense, Southern Army is such a vast area. It's one of the biggest commanders of the Army.
It is. In fact, it's a privilege to be the Southern Army Commander.
Right.
Because it is not only the largest, but it is also the oldest command.
That's right.
So it was raised on 1st of April, 1895.
Oh, my God.
And since then, it has stayed here.
It's stayed here.
For a very brief period, about 1919, it moved to Bangalore.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, it has again
come back.
It has again come back. So about 41% of the Indian landmass.
Right.
That's where Southern Command, it all encompasses the boundary of the Southern Command. We have about 11 states and 4 union territory. That itself is a very huge challenge.
Huge. In fact, it's the peninsular India. You can
the entire say. Peninsular yeah. India.
Right. And it not only has land boundaries with the neighbors, but also maritime boundaries.
Maritime. That cases. Also we've got to be careful. And it has its own challenges.
Right.
It has its own challenge in the cell, the HADR.
Right.
Because a massive area, huge area, we've got to coordinate with all the state. Sure. But I think there are great SOPs in place. Whenever I visit, I meet the chief minister, the governors, and make sure that our HADR policies and our HADR SOPs are absolutely well in place.
So what one has observed, and this is over many years, that Southern Command has this relationship, like you said, with the state governments, but also many regimental centers, training centers also in Southern Command.
True. Not only the regimental centers, these are the CAT-B establishments.
Right.
We have large number of CAT-A establishments.
Right. The category we have
the CAT-A establishments, so which are like National Defense Academy,
right.
The Defense Services Staff College,
yes.
The MILIT. So all these and the CDM.
Yes.
And the CDM, the College of Defense Management. That's also there.
Absolutely.
So together it's like the training hub. And the Southern Command is responsible for the administrative infrastructure,
sure.
You know, improvement. I go there and do the ADAM inspection.
Right.
So I think it's a very good ecosystem here.
Exactly. So because it feeds into what the Indian Army needs too. But that of course is your, if I may use the word, secondary job.
But then it also becomes a very important. I would say it's very pivotal.
It is.
Because this is the nursery.
Sure.
And from here, you know, the soldiers, the officers gets empowered.
Right.
So we take it very serious.
Absolutely.
As to how we can, whatever we can do, whatever is in our capacity,
yes.
To make things improve there, to make sure that administratively, whatever is required is given to them.
True. But what I was driving at was that Southern Army also has a large boundary or a border with our western neighbor, Pakistan. And it has varied borders, actually. You know, you have the Sir Creek, you have the runoff catch, you have the, you know, the land boundary in Rajasthan. So what are your thoughts on how you have to be careful about what you do as far as security is concerned?
I think what you have raised is a very important issue because we are blessed to have a different kind of terrain like desert. So we have the desert terrain and the border, like you said, is about 1,200 kilometers to be precise.
Right.
And there are two states, that is the Rajasthan and Gujarat, where the border is.
Sure.
And apart from the desert, because most of the people feel it's only the desert terrain, the open desert terrain, and it's open.
Yes.
Unlike as you see in the Southwestern Command or the Western Command, where it is absolutely open.
Yes.
Here, you know, the maneuverability is there, the space is there.
Right.
So in case of a conflict, you know, that's where the space exists. Mm. That's where the maneuver will take
place. Correct.
But coming back to your point per se, this different type of terrain definitely places a lot of challenges on us. When you come down to the area of Creek and the Run,
right.
Run is like 45,000 square kilometers of area, not even a blade of grass.
Right.
and the terrain is tough, very tough. Like I've been the commander there, so I know it firsthand and I know it personally.
Right.
There are times when hauling winds are there. And with that, those particles, the salt particles and the sand particles hit you. They hit you like icicle.
Oh my God.
And not only this, after some time, what happens is because of the heat, your body starts, you know, oozing blood.
Oh,
oozing blood.
I see. Oh, because, blood. Yeah, the blood.
Because the salt really eats into your skin. And it also has a connotation on the equipment, the maintenance of the equipment.
See, this is an extremely important point because normally people know about the effect of terrain and weather in Siachen or high altitude.
True.
But people don't know so much about, you know, what happens in desert or even run.
Absolutely.
Like you mentioned.
So, and run is about 45,000 square, very different area.
Right.
The going conditions, you know, they can vary from, you know, from kilometer to kilometer.
Right.
You know, somewhere it is passable, somewhere, you know, it is a challenge, somewhere it is a challenge.
Of course.
Come down to the creek area.
Right.
Like Kori Creek. Kori Creek, when you enter Kori Creek, it looks as if it is sea.
Right.
Absolutely sea. Most of the people are not aware of the challenges in the Kori Creek. So that, and especially when you look at it, that this is also one of the unresolved issues.
Yes.
Then the sensitivity is also much more. So what we have done is that we have made sure that we scale up our capabilities in that particular area. So there have been large number of acquisitions in the past. In terms of mobility equipment, in terms of the ISR, since you know it is still unresolved, we got to be aware as to what's happening on
the alertness has to
the
be
alertness has to be there. The alertness has to be there.
Yeah.
So a lot of action has been taken, and today I can assure you that we are very well prepared in the entire desert area, the creek area, and also the run area. And I have not told you about. It's a little bit of a hilly area.
Okay.
When you go to Kutch, when you go to Kutch, you know, there are rolling hills.
Right.
There are also some jungles there in that area. And Kutch itself has become such a huge industrial base. Right. It's becoming something like a manufacturing hub. Yes. So the sensitivity of that area again improved.
Exactly.
Coming back to the RE parks, the biggest, world's biggest RE park is coming up in Khavda, in the area of Kutch.
Correct.
And we have actively made sure that, you know, we have aligned with them. To make sure that it comes up in a quick time frame. And also takes care of our own sensitivities.
Right.
Because when such kind of a project comes, we have to also take care of our military sensitivity. All that has been done. There are very good mechanisms to make sure that everything gets...
I think the vastness is not really recognizable because it's not in the news or it doesn't... The active conflict hasn't happened there. Thankfully, and should not happen.
Yeah. But active conflict in the sense that it took place.
Yes, in 1965.
Earlier, it started from there. It started from
March.
Yes, it started. So it's an open area.
It's an open area. And possibilities are always
possibilities
there.
Possibilities are always. One has to be prepared. You know, in army, a lot of people have this feeling. What does army do? I think army trains for war.
Yes.
And in war, like I always say, there are no runners-up.
Yeah.
So you have to train. You have to train hard and you have to train so that whenever that opportunity comes, you come out as the victim.
The victim. Absolutely. No, I agree. So talking about ISR and the improved, alertness, technology is now the, available technology is enable you to do all that. So how is the Southern Army in keeping with the overall image or overall planning, doing the technology absorption as far as ISR issues are concerned?
I think that's a very important point you have raised because if you see what's happening in Russia, Ukraine, what happened in Israel, Hamas, I think both the technology and the HR, both are extremely important.
Correct.
You know, on one end in Russia-Ukraine war, we have seen that the technology becomes absolutely imperative.
Yes.
And it is not that you can only rely on the modern technology. I think it's a mix.
Yes.
The conventional thing is equally important, but at the same time, whatever is now coming, whatever is presently existing, we should be able to absorb it seamlessly, effectively.
Correct.
I think this is one of the KRA, and the army is quite alive to that particular thing, and a large number of actions have been taken in this regard. So like drone, artificial intelligence, and multi-domain, you know, EW, cyber, psychological warfare, legal warfare. So I think it's just increasing. The complexity is increasing.
Exactly.
And
keeping with that, I think your training also is changing in that sense. You know, your threshold of technology absorption of your soldiers and officers.
So I think, again, you raised a very important point. One is, what is our CONOPS? What's our concept of ops?
Right.
Everything depends on the concept of ops.
Correct.
Everything must flow out of the concept of ops. You know, then the technology absorption in the right manner can take place.
Correct.
So we have refined our TTPs, what you said, the tactics, the techniques, and the procedures, and in accordance with the TTP, and also as and when you induct a new equipment, you know, that also brings in a whole lot of changes. So once, then your TTPs have to be aligned to that new equipment. So it's like a, it's like, you know, to and fro.
Absolutely.
You have to harmonize both.
Correct. And, you know, again, flowing from there, the new reform that has come into the Indian military as a whole, I mean, the eventual aim is about theaterization. But right now, I was speaking to the Chief of Defense Staff, and he was talking about 8 or 9 verticals, about jointness, integration, and how that will lead, that base will lead to the edifice being erected in the future. So in that respect, how has been your planning, and also how has been your approach towards jointness and joint training maybe?
I think what you have raised again is a very substantial issue, because it is an imperative. The organizational changes today are an imperative. I think all three services have to be absolutely well integrated. Coming on to the jointness and integration, jointness is mindset.
Right.
You know, in mind, the mindset has to be joint. So I think that has happened largely. Right. And integration is a matter of, you know, putting in the details.
Sure.
You know, the organizational integration, the SOP integration, and other. And I feel that Southern Command is nicely placed, beautifully placed.
Yes.
Because since it is 41% of Indian landmark,
right.
So the three naval commands
are all in your
are area. There with us. Yeah, are there with us? The yes. The not only them, the Air Force, the yes. Southwestern Air Command, yeah. And the Southern Command, they are again within our this area, and also the training command. They're yes. Their training command.
Mm.
Apart from that, if you see the BSF. And the ICG, the right. Coast Guard, even yes. Their frontier headquarters is absolutely. Also located.
Correct.
And when you combine it with large number of state governments and others, I think it is not only integration between the three services. I think when wars are prosecuted,
yes.
It is not only by the armed force. Right. I think the nations prosecute
absolutely.
War. So everybody has to be integrated.
Right.
So I think the Southern Command is very well placed to make sure that we are integrated. We have had large number of exercises.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, just very recently,
mm-hmm.
We had the first ever
uh-huh.
Tri-service exercise.
Oh.
So in that, what happened is that the entire planning process mm-hmm. was done jointly,
wow.
Both by the Indian Army.
That's the beginning, right?
That's the beginning. Mm-hmm. That's the beginning. So it was done absolutely right from the drawing board
mm-hmm.
to its very execution. And for its execution, we had a joint force headquarters. Okay. And prior to this, mm-hmm. You know, joint ISR,
right.
Joint logistics. Mm-hmm. So each has its own capabilities.
Sure.
How do you integrate these capabilities seamlessly?
Exactly.
So in my assessment, 1 and 1 doesn't make 2. 1 and 1 makes 11.
Exactly. Yeah, we've done rightly.
True.
And therefore, like you said, since this area, luckily, there's enough time to train. And
true.
Training, like you have already mentioned, without training, you can't be ever ready.
True.
You have to be ready. So in that respect, what have been your KRAs as far as training for the Army and then coordination with the others are concerned?
I think one of the most important KRA as far as the training is concerned, first is to be operationally prepared.
Right.
Whatever it entails to make, because this is the bread and butter.
Right.
This is the prime object.
Correct.
So you must train. And the training has to be realistic.
Yeah.
That is number 2.
Absolutely.
Number 3, your training should not only encompass the conventional weapon systems, but should also take care of the newer on-the-horizon technology.
Right.
You know, so you have to have that kind of a spectrum
mm-hmm.
with it. And fortunately, in Southern Command, because all the constituents are there,
right.
You know, the BSF is there, the Coast Guard is there, the Navy is there, as well as the Air Force is there.
Right.
It's very easy to integrate, to come together and to train to and understand each other's peculiarities. And that's how the interoperability becomes much better. Like
right.
Even in all our, you know, exercises,
mm-hmm.
We make sure that the Coast Guard
mm-hmm.
and the BSF also gets integrated. Not only them,
right.
We also make sure that the civil governments get mm-hmm. absolutely integrated.
Mm-hmm.
Like last time when we had this major exercise, the
right.
tri-service exercise, mm-hmm. when the units mobilized, that's a huge mobilization.
Yes.
42,000 people
okay.
mobilized
in
from
one go.
Nearly yeah. 41% of the Indian landmass.
Right.
So we ran about close to 73 trains. So you have to, you know, be in effective communication and coordination with the Indian Railways.
Right.
The road, about 93 road columns moved, and it is moving through number of states.
Right.
So this time, I think for the first time, we made sure that the civil police gave us the corridors. This is the first time that we made sure that the civil resources, especially in terms of the recovery,
right.
also are in place.
In
are also in place. transparent.
So like you said, it's a nation's effort. Whenever a conflict or a war happens, the nation has to fight it, not just the army or the Air Force or the Navy. So we were talking about that exercise and the largest exercise perhaps that you've conducted of late. Just tell us a little more about
that. In fact, daily about 42,000 personnels and good about 700 specialist vehicles, about 500 A vehicles. So it was a huge mobilization and a lot of things were tried for the first time.
Okay.
So we had the joint ISR and for the first time we established the centers, these ISR centers, right. And they were integrated centers.
Okay.
They were integrated centers.
So you mean when you say integrated, it will be of the three services
together. So we were getting the feed from all the three services.
Right.
A lot of special missions were flown primarily to get that kind of a thing going.
Right.
And also importantly, we changed the exercise area to make sure that we get that kind of a space.
Okay.
Otherwise, you are aware of Rajasthan, the green belt slowly coming in. So that is restricting.
Right.
This is good. In a way, it is good for the nation that the green belt is coming up.
Right.
But for army, it restricts our maneuvering space. So we went to a place which actually, so each tank has done good about 400 plus kilometers.
Really?
And the best thing is that none of the equipment misbehaved.
So
I think this is a very important point.
There are two lessons here. One is that India's got vast space which can be utilized.
True.
And two, maintenance of your equipment.
It was done very well.
Mm-hmm.
All the echelons, the commanders, I think they worked hard towards it.
Right.
So the equipment that was fielded, we had very few breakdowns. And whatever were the breakdowns, that were taken care of by the maintenance echelons.
No, obviously, that will happen.
As a commander, it gives me a lot of confidence.
Right.
Because we have a mix of the old equipment and the vintage equipment and the new equipment.
Mm-hmm.
So as an army commander, it gives me a lot of assurance and a lot of confidence.
That the equipment is
in good shape. Is absolutely in good shape. It's ready for war.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, but that's the key point, right?
Yeah.
That you maintain not only your training and operational preparedness, but also the equipment.
In fact, this part I would like to even elaborate a little further.
Sure.
It's a challenge.
Okay.
Like the Chetaks, the Cheetahs,
sure.
The old equipment, and especially in absence of the spares.
Yes.
And I think that's where I would also say that the private industry has also come forward. So a lot of spares, they have been able to make, they have been able to fabricate.
Okay.
And there is a very good interaction that is taking place with the private industry.
So I think
leveraging the capacity of the private
industry.
And
I think, again, Southern Command's area of operations or area of responsibility encompasses all the technology hubs.
In fact, you said it right. It is Pune.
Yeah.
It is a heavy industry hub. Chennai is a very heavy.
Bangalore is IT.
Bangalore is IT. Your Secunderabad is IT. Yeah. Pune is again an IT hub.
Absolutely.
So all the industries, be it the heavy industries or the IT, the hub is located in peninsular India. Large number of IITs, large number of research institutes.
Yes.
And as far as Army is concerned, our CAT A, CAT B establishment.
Yes.
So we have the subject matter experts.
Absolutely.
We have the private industry.
Correct.
We have the academia.
Yeah.
So towards that purpose, what we did was, we had the Southern Star Army Academia Industry Interface.
Oh, excellent.
So this is something that we have started. Created an institutional mechanism to make sure that this vision of Atmanirbharta plays up in a quick time frame.
Sure.
While it is important for us to get it as early as possible.
Correct.
So we have had large number of iterations, interactions, and I think there is a lot of confidence and dynamism in the private industry that I see wherever I go and visit. I make it a point to visit the private industry, and I think I have seen a lot of dynamism. The government of India has also done a lot to make sure that the policy empowerment and enablements take place.
Yes.
While I think a lot of good work has been done, but just to make sure that it happens in the right time, I think more and more policy empowerments also would come. The procurement cycles, like yesterday that seminar was done.
Yeah, exactly.
Procurement cycles, again, we have to sort of, make them a little.
Hasten them.
A lot of good work is done.
Right.
And I'm sure in times to come, you are aware of the, DRDO, the changes that are coming up, the reforms that are coming up.
Right.
So they are coming up. And I think they are coming up in a good time frame.
Correct. No, so, again, going back to the equipment and the, the maintenance part of it, many of the challenges would be in maintaining the armored strength.
True.
And it's like a heavy, more than a heavy vehicle.
True.
So, what are the challenges there?
And I think there are a large number of challenges.
Mm-hmm.
So, the spare part in concert with the private industry, to a large extent, we have been able to take care of that.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes in the critical technology.
Right.
That's where the issue is. So I think now the focus should be on the critical technology.
Exactly.
A good interface with our own PSUs.
Yes.
Because fortunately, the PSUs are also located, most of which we have the factory is located in Chennai. Yes. And we are very actively collaborating with them. Like wherever there is a problem, the issue is taken up at the highest point. And, there is a team that is constituted and people specifically come up to take care of this.
Right.
I think this very close interaction between the manufacturers, between us, between the private industry.
Correct.
I think a good ecosystem has been created so that these maintenance challenges also can be taken care of.
One curiosity a lot of people have, and I keep getting these questions from defense enthusiasts, but not really experts, is that what is the strength or how is the MBT Arjun faring?
I think MBT Arjun is a beautiful concept.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the right way towards Atmanirbharta.
Right.
And it, as a tank, I think it has come up as a very fine tank, uh-huh. as a very good tank.
Right.
Yes, weight definitely is an issue.
Uh-huh.
But whenever a new equipment comes, right. I think it's important for us to realize yes. that this is the first.
Correct.
There would be changes. Once we start utilizing, there would be changes.
Absolutely.
I think those changes would have to kick in.
Uh-huh.
And especially in the critical technology, again, coming back to that, yes. like the engine. I think that is where we have to work.
Right.
If we can get that our own indigenous engine,
right.
I think light tank is will yes. slowly see the light of the day.
Absolutely.
And I think that will give us a lot of confidence.
Correct.
I think this is good time, I feel, to have a government-to-government kind of an endeavor
mm.
whereby we are able to get that kind of a technology, get it manufactured here
Absolutely.
And create that kind of an ecosystem.
Correct.
I think that is the way.
That is what exactly, because we saw some firing by Arjun,
yes.
Jaisalmer and other places. And
the firing people, is superb.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's
so stable that
yes,
platform.
Yes, yes. And the electronics is beautiful.
Correct.
The speed is, maneuverability is fabulous.
Very good, yeah.
It's fabulous.
So like you said, of course, with Mark 1, Mark 2,
Mark 2.
Things will happen.
It'll keep improving.
Yeah.
It'll keep improving.
Correct. And so therefore, the equipment part is absolutely fine. The exercises, so what are the lessons from that exercise that you spoke about before
I think,
we go into other
stuff? I think one of the most important lesson from that exercise is formulation of the joint directives, the joint SOPs.
Right.
So there are a number of joint SOPs that we have been able to formulate and the directives. And then is the integration.
Right.
I think communication is extremely important for a commander like me.
Mm-hmm.
Communication is the back. So we need a complete battlefield transparency, which is riding
yeah.
on a very robust communication architecture and with all the networks talking to each other seamlessly. We also have to get, because in a future war, the pace would be quite a lot. And if the pace would be a lot and so many activities, we have to automate and digitize the entire process. Somewhere we have to get the AI, because there would be so much of information overload.
Yes.
AI has to come
Correct.
Come into the entire,
yeah.
which is already happening. Which
right.
is already happening.
For analysis. And,
for analysis, yeah. you should be able to get the sense, the picture, the
Correct.
Complete picture.
That's right.
Absolutely, which has been already synthesized,
yes.
which has already been corroborated.
Correct. No. So that I think is an extremely important lesson, because just talking about network-centric warfare is not enough to have
Correct.
Place. Have in place many of these, enabled or enabling platforms must be important.
Absolutely.
And therefore, the lesson would be very good from
Absolutely.
There.
And also, we get to know the best practices of each services.
Right.
Of each services. What is it that what technology they are using?
Right.
Other thing is op logistics.
Right.
I see there is a lot of commonality
yes.
as far as the op logistics is
Correct.
Concerned. For example, we are flying the same machines.
Yes.
They're also flying the same machines.
Absolutely.
I think the entire maintenance could also be together.
Yeah.
The training could be together. The training could be together.
Right. Mm. No, that's excellent, because those lessons will now be proliferated across the three services and so on.
True. Yes. No. It has already been done.
I see.
We have the complete analysis of the exercise,
mm.
The way ahead. The recommendations have been collated and we have shared with the higher headquarter
right.
so that it could be disseminated, and we have put timelines that this is the manner in which to move ahead.
Others can do that.
Well,
that's excellent. And I think your emphasis also on the Atmanirbharta and also academia interaction, that should give confidence that India has to be self-reliant going
True.
Forward. And I think the lessons from Russia, Ukraine and Israel, Hamas, is that
only. Is there. In fact, in the entire peninsular India, whether it is Chennai, whether it is Bangalore, whether it is Pune, we have had large number of seminars, exhibitions.
Correct.
Like the F-India.
Right.
If you recollect.
India-Africa.
India-Africa, this thing,
yes.
exercise
right.
that we had.
Yes.
Post the exercise, then we were able to get the chiefs of the African countries.
Right.
32 of them
came
down.
Yeah.
And we had the seminar, we had the exhibition.
Right.
They saw the exercise.
Mm-hmm.
They saw how Indian Army is infusing technology.
Right.
So this is something that they saw live in front of them.
Exactly.
And post that, we had the complete exhibition where the opportunity was given to the defense manufacturers in India to showcase what they have been able to do.
Yeah.
It was appreciated both by the defense manufacturers as well as by the chiefs of the African state.
And that will give them confidence that Indian Army is already using it.
True.
And therefore, we can also buy them or induct them in our services.
And, you know, Southern Army or the Southern Command itself is a hub of military diplomacy.
Yes.
This joint exercises with the friendly foreign countries again takes place. You know, we are interacting with good about 100 odd countries.
Right.
So there are joint exercises, the courses, the training exchanges.
You have a node here in Pune.
We have a node here in Pune.
Right.
The joint training node which is there.
So all these people come here and do their exercises.
Absolutely. Because that what, you know, you are able to understand each other better.
Right.
Interoperability is better.
Mm-hmm.
You can refine your own TTPs.
Right.
And I think there is a lot which other nations also can learn from us, like we can learn from them.
You know, that I can tell you, wherever I travel across the world, there is always a demand that we should do more training with Indian military.
True.
And that shows the confidence.
Like the glacier.
Yes.
There is no army which is deployed on the glacier.
Absolutely.
We are the only army.
Correct.
So it's only we, the jungle training.
Absolutely.
The counter-insurgency, counter-terrorism.
Absolutely.
Again, I think Indian Army has a vast experience. A lot of people come here to gain from that experience, and we also gain equally.
Excellent. So let's talk about, the aspect of ex-serviceman welfare, because I'm sure with 41% area, like you mentioned, of the country, many ex-servicemen are settled in this area of your responsibility.
True.
And what is the challenge and what are the things that you've done?
We have a large number of ex-servicemen fraternity, that is about 7 lakhs. And we always take pride in the Indian Armed Forces, and especially in the Indian Army, that we are a family.
Yes.
As is our culture, that you respect your elders.
Right.
So veterans are like elders.
Correct.
So they have to be given the respect and they have to be taken care on to be looked after.
Right.
So we are very conscious of this fact.
Mm.
And there are a large number of initiatives that have been taken.
Right.
Like, what would they need? They would need medical facilities.
Absolutely.
So I think this is something that we have really harped on. Pune itself is like a major hub.
Right.
It's got the Command Hospital, it's got the Army Institute of Cardiothoracic Center, it's got the Artificial Limb Center.
Mm.
So a whole lot of it's like a hub. Similarly, large number of ECHS, you're aware of the ECHS scheme. And now, especially for the elder veterans, there is no problem. They can seamlessly get into any hospital. They would be treated. Spursh, you are aware.
That pension.
That pension. So now I think it is more or less stabilized.
Okay.
We have reached out to the ex-servicemen. We have created veterans node. We have created Spursh kiosk so that people are facilitated.
Sure.
Facilitated. And not only that, I think what we are doing is we are training our own, all ranks, so that only when they go back, they are able to educate the veterans. Because it's not a difficult thing to get onto that.
Sure.
It's again a little mindset.
Right.
So I think we have to just, once we hold their hand, do a little bit of a hand-holding, reach out to them.
Absolutely.
Large number of ex-servicemen rallies have been done. Mm-hmm. Rallies have been done.
Right.
So that is how we are taking care of the...
But also, Veer Naris constitute...
Veer Naris are important because they need a much more hand-holding. Much more...
They have a long life.
They have a long life. And there are a lot of challenges that they face.
Right.
So we are also in the process of setting up Veer Nari hostels.
Mm-hmm.
So one of them, especially in Secunderabad, with the help of the cantonment board.
Right.
So there was a women's hostel coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So we have earmarked certain place that in case any Veer Nari wants to come.
Yes.
But in the ex-servicemen rallies, and also since most of the regimental centers are located, so we have reached out to the regimental centers that they must get in touch with their Veer Naris. It has to be a personal touch.
Sure.
They must get a list. They must know where they are. They must know what is their problem. And how is it that there are a large number of schemes that are there. But it is those schemes should be able to be utilized by them.
They should reach
so that
them.
Last mile connectivity.
Exactly.
That is what we have to take care. For that, I think there is no other. You have to reach out to them. You know, you have to fill the forms even to this thing. You have to suggest. You have to recommend.
Right.
I think that kind of a very intimate hand-holding is essential. That's what we are doing here in Southern Kapam.
No, it's excellently done on that aspect, I suppose. But nation building is one of the key areas I saw in that film that we saw yesterday. And I'm going to talk about that conference you did on ancient Indian thoughts and their applicability in the modern warfare. But before that, your take on what I said about the welfare. Of course, you've talked about Veeranaris, you've talked about. But how do you then sort of integrate all this into the larger aim of making the army popular for people to come and join?
I think that's a very moot and a very important point, because for a very long time, you know, the cantonments were like a secluded spot.
Right.
And, you know, the army and the civil interface, we have taken a lot of proactive measures to reach out to the civil population. Mm. After all, we are the nation's army. We are the citizen's army.
Absolutely.
And it's important for us. And I think one of the biggest motivating factor for a soldier is the adulation and the respect that it gets from its civilian counterpart.
Right.
I think that is what eggs us on. That's what motivates us. So it's very important for us to reach out to them.
Right.
So we have had large number of, you know, these melas where we display our equipment, where we tell them there's a outreach that we have done, especially in terms of the Agniveer again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have gone out to you know, schools, to colleges, to make sure that people are told about the recruitment process, about, and also motivating them.
Right.
Indian Army, in any case, is very well placed to act as a great force, which can play a very important and a pivotal role in the nation building per se.
That's true. So, in fact, you are also president of the Gorkha Brigade, and I saw your photographs in Nepal recently. Yeah. How was your visit there?
It was a beautiful visit. Mm-hmm. I think, again, because these are the soldiers who have given their sweat and blood for the country. And it becomes very imperative for us, very important and very pivotal for us to take care of them in their twilight years.
Yes.
And we have a very effective and a big military wing in Nepal to take place. So as a President Gurkha Brigade, I got this wonderful opportunity to go and visit.
Yeah.
And the love, affection and adulation that we get from the ex-servicemen there in Nepal is something which is very moving, which is very amazing, very, very amazing, very amazing. Mm. I've been able to reach out to them, clarify a lot of issues.
Right.
And I've told them that, you know, there's a lot of talk going on. There's a lot of movement which is there.
Yes.
And I've assured them that we are there.
Their future will be taken
care.
Their future generations will be taken care.
To take care. In fact, there itself, I treated with the defense attaché and the ambassadors, reached out to, I met the chief of army staff of the Nepal army too, and reached out to large number of retired officers, bureaucrats. And I think it's such a beautiful relationship between these two countries.
Sure.
And in my assessment, I think the Gurkhas form a very important and strong pillar of this wonderful symbiotic relationship that we have this country.
Absolutely. But also, what I was impressed about was the seminar that you did, and, you know, the new thinking that is happening in not just the Army Training Command, but also other training institutions, and which you, I think, took it further, getting the Chief of Defense Staff to come and speak about it. You spoke so well about ancient Indian thought and how it can be then integrated with the modern needs of modern warfare. So tell us a little more about that.
I think our idea here in the Southern Command was, while there are a lot of such seminars which take place in Delhi and the other places, but I think we should move. So Pune, I thought, because since this is also known as the Oxford of the East, it's a knowledge capital, it's a reading capital.
Absolutely.
So I said we have been able to do large number of seminars here.
Mm-hmm.
So this was a very important seminar, because I feel that being the oldest civilization, it is very important for us to, you know, to connect with our civilizational culture, with you know, the vast literature that we have.
Yeah.
It is not for a moment saying that you go back, but those are the fundamental concepts.
Absolutely.
I think those fundamental concepts are still extremely relevant.
Right.
And to just talk of Bhagavad Gita,
yes.
And I always tell to this, to everyone,
yes,
that Bhagavad Gita is one such seminal work which was relevant, which is relevant, and I think which would continue to be relevant in times to come. It has got so much of application with leadership, with the management, and come to think of it, where was it delivered?
Yes.
On a battlefield.
On a battlefield.
To whom was it delivered?
Yes.
To a commander-in-chief. and
was,
through that
was reluctant
and who was who lost faith in the cause.
Yes.
And through which Lord Krishna himself reinstituted that faith in the cause. I think it's a beautiful example. So it's very imperative for us. And we have vast, we are not a civilization of just one book.
Exactly.
We are a civilization of a huge library.
Huge.
And we are the inheritors
Absolutely.
Of that particular legacy. So it's incumbent and important on part of us to connect, to understand, assimilate, and carry forward.
True. And no other army in the world will have this heritage, actually.
True. No, nobody. You know, right from your Vedas, Samved, Yajurved, Rigved, there's so much, you know. The Vedas, people think, are only just about Karmakand. No, sorry. The Vedas talk about science. The Vedas talk about statecraft.
Yes.
The Vedas talk about agriculture.
True.
Agriculture,
True.
You know.
And the well-being of the citizen.
And the well-being of the citizen.
Yeah.
And the well-being. You know, they give you the guidance.
Yes.
The guidance to the king.
Yeah.
You know, and how to rule, you know, how to govern, how to act, and how to take care of people.
True. So it's commendable that, you know, at least those things are coming back, or at least are being brought into the Indian strategic thought.
True.
And it's not just in the military. I can tell you from my own personal experience that even in the diplomacy, even in other segments of statecraft, this is being now seen as something that we must revive, and we must do that.
Arshastra, you know, Kautilya's work is seminal.
Right.
Panchtantra.
Absolute.
Thiruvarukul, you know, in Tamil.
So I'm glad that people have no longer predominantly quoting Sun Tzu and and Clausewitz.
I think we are correcting to our own.
Absolutely.
You know, people who have been great statesmen, who have been leaders par excellence.
Right.
And who have been a guiding beacon.
Great. So before I end, any thoughts, any message that you want to give to your troops here and the future people who will come into the...
I think before that, I also want to delve a little on our contribution in the nation building.
Please do.
Because there is a large number of initiatives. Like if we are located in 41% of
right.
Indian landmass.
Well, in fact, I missed that when we were talking about nation building. But yes, yeah,
so,
right.
So we are rightly placed
right.
to make a positive difference.
Sure.
Obviously, it is not at the cost of our own this thing, but we can act like a catalyst.
Absolutely.
Because of our sheer presence.
Sure.
Because we are there on the borders.
Everywhere, yeah.
So the border infrastructure improvement becomes extremely important.
Mm-hmm.
So towards that, what we have done is that we have identified villages, and in some way we have sort of adopted them.
Mm-hmm.
And we are making sure, in concert with the state and with the district administration, that the schemes are rolled out in a very seamless, effective,
right.
and a very responsive
way. Oh, in fact, yes, I saw that in that film where you have adopted schools, you've
Correct.
Got water bodies.
True, true.
So
as part of the Vidyanjali scheme,
right.
so whatever are the schools in the border areas,
right.
you know, that we have aligned them with our own APS.
Mm-hmm.
So the faculty can go there, the students can go there,
yes.
the infrastructure improves. Aim is that over a period of time,
mm-hmm.
we should be able to make sure that the standard becomes nearly the same.
Right.
Standard become nearly
Correct.
The same. So that is one. Mm-hmm. Then both Gujarat and Rajasthan, you know, there is a little bit of a water shortage.
Mm-hmm.
So 75 ponds, since this is 75 years,
yeah.
so we have been able to make 75 ponds. Not only make them, but we have made sure that these are all put on the portal,
right.
or the Gati Shakti portal with their complete, you know, geo-reference.
Mm-hmm.
So all these have been geo-referenced also.
Mm-hmm.
So not only that, like national education policy.
Sure.
We are the first command to absolutely assimilate, absorb the education policy.
I see.
And the Indian knowledge system, the IKS.
Right.
So this is again, we are focusing, because I think children are impressionable.
Absolutely.
That
yes.
is the time, and that is the age to start.
Right.
If they are able to connect to their roots, I think it becomes very easy for them as they grow in stature.
So as I can see it, it's actually not just improving their livelihood, their lifestyle, their living, but also giving them a pride. In Indian civilization.
Absolutely. And also the women empowerment.
That's right.
You know, women empowerment. So you're all aware of the initiatives
right.
that the Indian Armed Forces have taken.
Yes.
Here also in Southern Command, because most of the institutions are there. We saw the first batch in the National Defense Academy.
Right.
The OT has always been training.
Yes.
The Gul cadets have come to the Senic schools.
Right.
So I think the entire ecosystem is changing.
Exactly.
And we have been able to absorb and assimilate them well. The women officers are today in command assignments.
Yeah, that's
so this is again a big step.
No, absolutely. So Indian military leadership has actually now started adopting and adapting both to what is required for modern warfare, as well as making sure that the nation sees this as one very crucial part of its
True.
Development as far as existence both are concerned. So thank you very much for this conversation.